absent a full investigation, which the United States appears incapable of doing, from John F. Kennedy to Martin Luther King to 9/11 to the USS Liberty, we don't do full, honest investigations. The president has it all. He has every email and every phone call made by every traitor, every elite pedophile, and every white-collar criminal, such as the Goldman Sachs leaders that I talked about, is that essentially 99% of what the president is hearing is a lie. He is being lied to every single minute of every single day by both the White House staff and by the intelligence community. Comey, before the election, I sent Comey a certified letter saying that he should immediately indict Hillary Clinton for, in this order, pedophilia, treason, charity fraud, and election fraud. I stand by that letter. Hillary Clinton is, in my view, richly indictable and convictable.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I invited Robert David Steele back. We have not talked for 3 months, something like that, and a lot has gone on since he's been on last. And I wanted to cover with him what happened with the missile in Hawaii. He has a different story, background on what's going on there. We also talk about tactical nuclear weapons and the fact that the United States is investing a lot more money into developing our nuclear capabilities and what that means. And we also discuss the future of America, the future, what's going on with Trump and censorship, and a lot of things that you may or may not heard from other areas. I also wanted to talk about him as a CIA, past CIA agent, and the word out there, his critics saying he's a disinformation agent, and also Benjamin Fulford, his relationship with him. And I ask him, and I want him to be direct about that. You'll hear my views when we talk about that, but I wanted to address that directly with him since there's so much information out there on that. And then before we get into that interview, I'm going to discuss a little bit more on hydrogen pH balanced water, my sponsor. And I got to tell you, it's something that I absolutely love. It has, along with C60, it has really cleaned out my whole digestive system. I could not be happier. But here's some before and after pictures for you and some other great ways and benefits of this water. Here is a picture of a colon after chemotherapy, and you can see how much it completely cleans out the digestive or the colon tract. Here's another one with someone with chronic constipation. After I saw this, this is when I was really sold. And here's a list of just some of the things that it helps you with. The release excess body fat and stored toxin, which is huge for me, and I'm really noticing it. Normalized blood sugar and insulin, normalized blood pressure. Again, support colon function, relieve asthma and chronic respiratory functions. Again, these are just some of the things that it does. Reduce the proliferation of candida, fungus, and undesirable microforms. That's a lot of the reason why we crave sugar. So there's so many good benefits to this. So if you're interested in getting more information, please contact Chip Bunce. He can give you all the information you want. You just email him and he'll give you scientific studies. He'll give you videos, whatever. It's manufactured in Japan. It is the highest quality machine out there. Nothing even compares. And he can give you comparisons too of why it is better. But now let's get into that interview with Robert David Steele.
Hi, Robert. Welcome back to the program.
Happy to be back.
We have a lot to talk about. We haven't talked for, 4 months now, and a lot has happened. Let's start with the Hawaii missile. I've been hearing, and I've heard you on different shows, that was not what we think it was, and the one button thing was a joke anyways. Can you explain what really happened there?
Well, we have a post-up. I think it's called Hawaii False Flag, a tiny URL, Hawaii False Flag, and I keep updating it. Let's break this down into three different things. Number one, was there a button? And the answer is no. A Hawaiian citizen with full access to the Hawaii Emergency Facility tells me there are 5 different fail-safe procedures. It's a pretty big deal to tell every citizen on cell phone, hey, a nuclear missile is coming. So 5 different safety procedures, the last of which is just like in a nuclear missile silo, 2 keys, 5 feet apart, that 2 guys shitting in their pants have to know that a missile is coming and send out this alarm. So while it's entirely possible that there's something much more mundane, including really cheap software where some moron can click the wrong line, I think that the governor is lying to us and that this was a very genuine alert, which, by the way, was mirrored by separate alerts from the U.S. Pacific Command, not part of the Hawaii system.
Oh, so other people.
Both the Hawaii system and the U.S. Pacific Command said, you know, bend over and kiss your ass goodbye.
That's a bigger deal.
So that's part one. Part two is, was it a meteor? Was it a missile? Was it an armed missile? Was it from North Korea? Was it from a submarine? All indications are that there was a missile and it was destroyed. It fell into the water. There is one report from a Hawaiian citizen that a tour boat saw it fall into the water. It was reported on Channel 2 in Hawaii and then scrubbed. I have no direct knowledge, but that's what I'm hearing. Part three is, who destroyed it? Was this a space weapon? Was this a Navy destroyer on patrol in the Hawaiian region? We have ample reports of Navy destroyers destroying ballistic missiles. I'm not sure how good they are against cruise missiles that are going Mach 2, but bottom line here is we don't know yet who fired it or how it was destroyed. What I do believe we can posit with reasonable certainty is it was not a false alarm. Something was fired. Something was destroyed. Absent a full investigation, which the United States appears incapable of doing, from John F. Kennedy to Martin Luther King to 9/11 to the USS Liberty, we don't do full, honest investigations.
So Las Vegas.
What?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, absolutely right. So bottom line, Sarah, is we're being lied to. We don't know what happened, but we do know that something happened other than the official narrative.
Well, okay. And now are they blaming it on North Korea and that kind of deal, or is North Korea not getting sucked into that?
Well, there's two different stories. The short answer is no, they're not blaming it on North Korea because the U.S. intelligence community, God bless them, has told the president that North Korea is a rational actor and their nuclear program is strictly defensive. In no way, shape, or form is it offensive. In no way, shape, or form is North Korea a threat to the United States or any of the outlying territories. The only possible threat that North Korea could be is to South Korea, and I don't think that's going to happen. The agreement to march together in the Olympics is the beginning of the unification of the Koreas. What happened in Germany is in what happened in Yemen and other places is going to happen in Korea. North and South Korea have every possible reason to unite and prosper together. The cabal, the Kazakhian mafia, the deep state, the shadow government, they all want a war with North Korea. They all want U.S. troops in Syria and Lebanon, because that's how they make money. War is profitable for the 1%. It is not profitable for the 99%. I just had lunch with Bill Binney, who's one of my heroes. I mean, he is to NSA what I am to CIA. And we talked about this. And I asked him the question, do you think Trump has been captured by the deep state? And his answer was, no, I do not think so. And I agree with that. I think Donald Trump is playing a very deep game. And one of the things that I discussed with Bill was how Khrushchev and Kennedy had connected through Kennedy's mother. Kennedy actually wrote a letter to his mom saying, Mom, please don't do this again. Serve as a back channel. But Khrushchev and Kennedy agreed that the worst enemies of peace were their own generals. I believe that Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, and Xi Jinping have an understanding among themselves. These are not only the three most powerful people on the planet. These are also the three people on the planet who can understand the stress, the strain, the burdens and the opportunities of being absolutely the top dog. So from where I sit, Donald Trump is pushing back on the deep state. Rex Tillerson is helping him. I'm not so sure about James Madison. I mean, James Mattis. Jim Mattis is absolutely sure in his heart that Iran did the Marine Corps barracks bombing. I am one of five people in the Marine Corps that actually read the entire Long Commission report, which was so big with all of its classified annexes that it took up an entire pilot-sized briefcase, which was kept in our Holy of Holy vaults within the Marine Corps Intelligence Division, where I was the second-ranking civilian. So I would say not only should Iran not be held accountable for the Marine barracks bombing, but even if it were, That was a proportional response, an asymmetric response to the U.S. declaring war to include a battleship throwing bullets the size of Volkswagens into the camps in Lebanon and so forth. So you have to be an adult here. You have to be mature about this. Iran is not the enemy, and neither is North Korea the enemy. The enemy is the deep state. The enemy is the 1%. Bill and I also talked about what the president has gotten out of the NSA databases, and we are in complete agreement. The president has it all. He has every email and every phone call made by every traitor, every elite pedophile, and every white-collar criminal, such as the Goldman Sachs leaders, who have been manipulating exchange rates and interest rates to cheat the public. We also talked about how we have all the evidence we need of insider trading. The question on the table is, will Attorney Jeff Sessions rise to the opportunity? And that's where we're not sure. And my personal choice for replacing Jeff Sessions is Judge Andrew Napolitano, a constitutional scholar of the First Order, who should first be Attorney General and then become a member of the Supreme Court.
Well, I think the deep state will go back and regret what they did when they decided they want to do mass surveillance. And if we have an honest person in there, because with all that data, we can completely clean up the swamp.
That is absolutely the silver lining on Mike Hayden's treason. When Mike Hayden declared warrantless surveillance, and Judge Napolitano just wrote a wonderful article that was reprinted in Lou Rockwell about how this the FISA thing, warrantless wiretapping, all of this is in direct violation of the constitutional protection against unreasonable search and seizure. So, and by the way, Bill and I also talked about the fact that NSA has no legislative charter. The president can close it down tomorrow with an executive order. And my preference is that he close it down, transfer the 30% that can be saved to CIA under Bill Binney, and eliminate the other 70%. Send all those people home. It's time they got a real job.
Well, it would send a huge message, which is what really needs to be sent. Go ahead.
You know, let me just say that when Bill Binney wrote the letter that I drafted and helped Bill with on the 26th of May, 2017, we pointed out to Attorney General Sessions, copied to President Trump, that it is entirely possible to do 100% of NSA's mission within the rule of law. And one of the things Bill and I talked today about was how thin thread, which is how you do it within the rule of law, it does the metadata, thin thread is working. It's being used by the Israelis, the Germans, and everybody else. NSA gave it to them. It's just not being used by the United States because NSA is corrupt and wanted to give SAIC the Trailblazer contract, which doesn't work. The other thing we talked about was how thin thread will work even if all information on the planet is encrypted, because the routers can't deal with encrypted routing information. So thin thread works at the router level, works at the metal level. We can identify false companies. We can identify people with fake identities. We can do it all. The last thing that came out of my lunch with Bill, which I cannot overstate my admiration for Bill. Bill is perhaps the single most precious patriot with technical knowledge in the world of intelligence that I am privileged to know. We talked about how an open source agency could apply thin thread to make sense of the world. Today, Bill and Mary Meeker agree. We only process 1% of all of the data that we've got in hand, and that 1% that we've got in digital form is 1% of what's known. So an open source agency would have as a priority bringing the half of the world that is not on the internet into a post-Google internet where you have individual sovereignty. We talked about Kalia Hamlin-Young, Identity Woman, who's one of my other heroes. And you should interview her because she really, really is at the forefront of protecting the individual rights of anonymity, identity, privacy, and security. She is Ref A in this manner. She is the Tim Berners-Lee of individual sovereignty, and I think very highly of her. So bottom line is we're going to do another push to get to the president. He is under attack. Plans are moving ahead to dismiss him from office under the 25th Amendment. I don't think that's going to work. But if he really wants to be successful in the spring and summer months going toward the election in November 2018, then he needs to take a serious look at hashtag Trump Triumph. He needs to really look at, I mean, he's a real estate guy. Donald Trump should understand that the real estate that is now occupied by the fake news media in the White House is the most precious real estate on the planet. He should flush those turkeys out of there and put that real estate to work for the American people. And the three things that we want to put in there, and I discussed these with Bill, are the open source agency, the Trump channel and studio, and a grand strategy element, a strategic advisory group that is run by a clerk that helps the president and the cabinet get a grip on all 10 high-level threats, all 12 core policies, and all true costs, which we agree that nobody in the U.S. government does. If the president does that, the Trump channel will have Bill Binney's thin thread as the architecture for distilling 200 million American citizens tweeting and emailing the president so that the president can literally pulse the nation by demographic, by location, by issue. Thin thread. This is the big thing that I learned today at lunch with Bill Binney. I hadn't realized this. Thin thread is not just applicable to classified information. It's applicable to all data. And thin thread can make sense of all data at a fraction of the cost and energy and time that is now consumed by the tedious methods of both the secret world and the blockchain world. And we talked about alternatives to blockchain, and I'm quite satisfied that Bill Binney should be chief technical officer of the United States of America.
It just seems like we're really behind in understand, just not having a core strategy, not understanding technology, not, and that is because we had this corrupt deep state for so long that there isn't this global or, you know, national strategy on how to do things that's good for our country. That has been ignored.
Sarah, you're absolutely right. And I thought about this about a year ago. I was trying to get a grip on why we're spending so much money on war and waste. And what I realized was that while peace and prosperity are roughly 10 to 100 times more profitable than war and waste, that profit is spread across all individuals. It's spread across the 99%. So the profit for the 99% might be on the order of $10,000 a year. But war and waste are profitable for the 1%, and their profit is on the order of $1 billion a year because there are so few of them. Okay? So what we have is a failed Western economic paradigm. And I totally agree with the Russian foreign minister who has said that we need a post-Western economy. I go further. We need a post-Western economy, a post-Western information paradigm, and a post-Western engineering paradigm. Dr. Marcin Jakubowski, who you should interview if you haven't already, has demonstrated with open source ecology and the global village construction set, he's demonstrated that he can build any artifact, such as a tractor, for 10% of the cost of a tractor such as John Deere sells that has secret software and is burdened with proprietary and legal encumbrances. An open source tractor costs $25,000 instead of $250,000, and it can be repaired in the field, often with 3D printed parts in the farmer's house using open source blueprints and recycled plastic and stuff like that. So we're at the very beginning of what could be the greatest transformation. I can't think of a similar transformation going back. You know, you want to talk about Copernicus and Galileo and the Reformation and Martin Luther and stuff. We're at the very beginning of something that is going to be 5 to 10 times bigger than all of those preceding revolutions.
And we're not talking communism or socialism. We're talking freedom, where things are spread out. Yeah, we're talking freedom for once. Because what people don't realize is that when we have all these small control, a small number of controllers on top, that is not freedom and capitalism. That is...
Well, it's worse than that, Sarah. It's worse than that. One of the problems that happens when you enter into the Weberian hierarchical structure, stupidity is very expensive. So is stovepiping, and so is rigidity. And what we have right now is a very rigid system with inherited wealth. And frankly, I think a lot of these elite families are inbred. So they're actually getting stupider from one generation to the next. And yet they have their weight, their financial weight that they can impose on everybody. The other thing that happens is when you shut down the little people, you're shutting down the ingenuity of the masses. I've done a lot of work in human intelligence and human intelligence augmented by computers and so forth. Innovation happens on the edges. Innovation happens at the bottom of the pyramid. And I believe that the single most precious infinite resource that we have on Earth is the human brain. And right now, we are spitting on 99% of the human brains that we could be exploiting and empowering. We still don't have. I've said on the record that the information technology industry today in the 21st century is retarded by design. Microsoft has been mutating and migrating its application program interfaces to prevent third-party things. You and I have both suffered from Microsoft's takeover of Skype. It destroyed our contact lists. It totally screwed up everything. I personally, every single day when I turn on my computer, the first thing I do is uninstall Microsoft's update feature, which keeps reinstalling itself. I have to uninstall it. I refuse to accept updates from Microsoft because they're toxic. And frankly, if the president gave me an open source agency, the first thing I would try and do is create an open source alternative to Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
Well, you know, I have similar experiences. I talk to scientists on the cutting edge. And one of the things I realized behind the scene is scientists are fearful. They're scared. And or they're going to other countries to bring their inventions out because this country has shut people down. And
they're
to me,
scared
that's
and they're
sad.
Also angry. They're also angry. You know, when you have a certain amount of wealth, people can be happy in their cubicles. Right now, most people in America are basically slaves working in cubicles. They're doing the same repetitive task every day. There is no fulfillment in that work. 50% of what they do is waste, and 90% of the earnings are going to the 1%, not to the people who are actually doing the work. So I believe we are on the verge of a revolution. The Arab Spring has come to America. And I think that over time we will actually change this. I think we're getting very close, not necessarily to a general strike, but we're getting very, very close to a degree of transparency. And I praise Julian Assange. I like WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is a model for assuring integrity going forward. We're getting very close to a level of transparency where people cannot escape scrutiny. The indictments that are pending, and I understand the arrests are going to occur in February, but the indictments that are pending are the tip of the iceberg. Once people find out that they cannot molest gymnast girls, or they cannot hold their children in captivity in their basement, or they cannot steal all of the federal funding for student education while delivering a shitty education, once that starts to happen, you're going to start seeing two things. One is you're going to start seeing some kind of naming and shaming. I'm a truth and reconciliation guy, so I'm not about putting people in jail. So naming and shaming. And on the other hand, you're going to start seeing alternative economies, alternative currencies, alternative lifestyles. You're going to start seeing people saying, hey, I don't want to commute to work every day. I don't want to deal with all these assholes that think that they're my boss just because someone's paying them more than they're paying me. So we're on the process of moving toward this breakout, breakaway civilization, unlike the 1% envisioned. We're looking at a 99% breakout.
Well, let's talk about the indictments, because I've heard other sources tell me that they're not real, and it's dangerous because it gives us hope. If the indictments don't come down, it'll hurt us more in the long run, because people will be angry if it's not true. And the indictments, if they do come down, it will create a huge sigh of relief for people. Why am I hearing that they're not true, and why are you so certain that they are?
Well, I'm not certain that they are, but I believe they are. I think there are a whole bunch of things going on here, and our legitimately elected president is central to all of them. One of the things Bill and I talked about is that essentially 99% of what the president is hearing is a lie. He is being lied to every single minute of every single day by both the White House staff and by the intelligence community. And Mike Pompeo, who was number one in his class at West Point, has had this conversation with Bill and others. And Pompeo doesn't seem to understand that everybody who's a direct report to Mike Pompeo is a trained professional liar. That's what they do. I know these people by name. They are liars. They are no more concerned with the future of the United States than they are with anything other than protecting their budget and advancing their careers and ensuring that they have a soft landing with a defense contractor that owes them big time for channeling taxpayer money to the defense contractors. I would tell you, if I were advising Mike Pompeo, the first thing I would say is cancel all options on all contracts, no renewals, and start over. Zero-sum review, Jimmy Carter-esque. 70% of what CIA is doing, and NSA, and the NRO, and NGA, the National Geospatial Agency, is absolute waste. It's not needed. It shouldn't be done. It's toxic. It is hurting America. 30% has real potential, but only if it has leadership with integrity. So bottom line here is I think that Trump and Sessions have tried to do the best things with the indictments, but I think they're being enclosed and shut down. And obviously there's a move by the FBI and justice officials who are facing indictment to get Sessions expelled and get the whole process of a new attorney general and so forth. What I have agreed with a few people is we need to try harder to get the president to sit down for an hour and understand why he needs to pivot toward the 99%. And I am urging everyone who believes in the ideas that I am offering our president, which I have offered since July of 2015. My first article in Counterpunch, Counter to How Donald Trump Can Win. I've been very consistent on this. Please, everybody, Twitter, to @RealDonaldTrump, @POTUS, #Unrig, give Robert Steele and Bill Binney and Judge Napolitano 9 minutes, 3 minutes each, http://Trump Triumph.
Well, I would think he'd want to give you some time. You have a lot of people listening to you. Bill Binney is taken very, very seriously and really respected as you are. I don't know why
Bill is more respected than I am. I'm a wild card. But I'll tell
but
you something.
He is very respected. Why wouldn't Trump at least give an ear to you? He's being told if he's lied by 99% of what he's told.
I'll tell you what the answer is. Trump is being told by these liars that I am a wild man devil, you know, who is absolutely toxic, a loose cannon. Doesn't know what he's talking about, missed the boat, is 40 years in the past. You know, every possible thing you can tell a president so they absolutely don't want to talk to someone, I'm sure they've done it. The only thing they haven't done so far, because they know it won't stand, is tell him I'm transgender and a satanic ritual killer. And, oh, by the way, I've raped 13-year-old girls.
Well, they're protecting... For some reason, they feel necessary to protect the people who are raping 13-year-old girls. Now, we have come forward with so much information on what's really going on with pedophilia, and we know that there is a network of people doing this. There's enough information now. The FBI knows. There's a network of high-power individuals that are involved in this stuff, but people still don't want to believe it. Do you think the tide is turning where people are realizing? Because, you know, go ahead.
This is the I've just recently received the advanced copy of the badge and the ID card. This is a treaty mandated commission, judicial commission of inquiry into human trafficking and child sex exploitation. And we're going to do what no government has done before. We're going to get at all the data and we are going to raise public consciousness. I've already started it independently with Joaquim Hagopian, who you have interviewed. Excellent interview. On the book, Pedophilia and Empire, Satan, Sodomy, and the Deep State. There are two more books in planning. The second book is 1,000 Sources and 100 Prisoners, providing excruciating detail about ritual murder and the multi-generational families of ritual murderers and the harvesting of child blood, bone marrow, and body parts, all of which have anti-aging properties. And they're also addictive. Adrenochrome is very addictive. It's like the ultimate natural high. This is adrenalized child's blood, and you only adrenalize a child's blood when you terrorize the child. One combination is the combination of sodomy and choking them to death. Every single governor across America, without exception, is complicit in covering up pedophilia and child murder across their state, to include Child Protective Services being a channel for taking children away from families with warts and selling them to pedophiles. Let me say that again. Every single governor, without exception. And I find it interesting that the most indictments are in Indiana.
Well, you know what's disturbing is if anybody looks into the child welfare system, which I have, and I've done multiple shows on it, over 50% of those kids have been sexually abused, and they're more at risk in the system, which yes. tells me we have some major issues in that child system.
No, the system was designed to ingest children for the elite pedophiles, as well as kind of the lesser order pedophiles that are used as a blackmail thing. I mean, we have an extraordinarily sophisticated system in the United States for bribing and blackmailing public officials at every level. And I really want to recommend Ivan Smith's, I.C. Smith's book. He was my counterpart at the FBI when I was at the Marine Corps doing the open source thing. He's taught me that corruption and satanic evil is 100 times bigger at the state and local level than it is at the federal level.
And I would believe that, you know, based on things that I've been told. Now, what happens if these indictments don't come through? Do you think that with this information coming out, do you think there's enough anger now and it's growing and enough awareness that people are going to rise up and say enough is enough?
Or that's a really good question, Sarah. I mean, one of the things I'm proud of is that we've managed to defeat hashtag resist. For those who don't recall, the deep state has tried to destroy our legitimately elected president 4 times now. First, with the Election College, with Lawrence Lessig, a traitor hiding out in Iceland, trying to flip the Electoral College. He should never be allowed to forget that he betrayed his country and violated the Constitution in trying to flip the Election College. Then the next one was John Brennan inventing all these lies about Russia. And I point out to people, my pamphlet, Soft Coup, is a bestseller on Amazon, and it's also free online. On page A13 of the CIA report, it says in black and white, our findings are not based on evidence. I don't make this stuff up. On page A13, it says our findings are not based on evidence. There was no Russian hacking of the election. The only people that hacked the election were John Brennan's rogue elements of the CIA, plus Hillary Clinton, the DNC, and all of these people. Then the third one has been this 25th Amendment attempt to label the president a mentally unstable individual who's unfit for office. And Michael Wolff's book, which I have reviewed, and the review I think is at Steel Review FF, tiny URL, Steel Review FF. I compare that book with books by Newt Gingrich and Corey Lewandowski, and absolutely come to the conclusion that Wolff's book is in 4 parts. Part one is absolutely the defamation of the president. This is a federally actionable, this is a federal lawsuit. And I believe the president should sue Michael Wolff and do discovery on every email, phone call, meeting, and cash payment that Michael Wolff has enjoyed for the last 2 years. I think Michael Wolff is vulnerable to a jury finding that he has defamed the president and cannot provide the sources to back up that portion of his book. The rest of his book is very interesting and makes it quite clear that Rents Priebus and Paul Ryan, Steve Bannon as the self-declared shadow president, and Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, all three conspired to destroy the president's first 100 days. They were all leaking like crazy. They were all mismanaging and fighting with each other, and they have no clue how to actually govern. So Donald Trump, his own worst enemies are the people he trusts the most, and that's a problem. So if he doesn't indict people, maybe that's the hand of God. Maybe that causes people to realize that we can no longer trust the government. In fact, just like this California movement, there comes a time when you have to abolish the government. If Donald Trump does not carry on with these indictments, he may find himself facing a national swell of anger that is totally nonpartisan, that elects a whole new Congress and tells him his days are numbered.
Well, and that should happen.
I hope it will happen if the president will not listen to Judge Napolitano, Roger Stone, Bill Binney, and myself. The four of us and a few others are doing everything we can to show him a constitutional solution. The constitutional solution, apart from canceling the FISA Act, which is a crime against humanity and totally against the U.S. Constitution, the president was lied to and every member of Congress was lied to when that act came up for a vote. In order for the president to be the greatest president ever, he has to create an election reform act that gives us a whole new Congress. And what I'm talking about is 435 people who are not loyal to either wing of the two-party tyranny. Okay, so independents, libertarians, greens, working families, justice with Rocky Anderson, even the occasional socialist. Bernie is not a socialist. Bernie is a Democrat who pretends to be an independent socialist. But the Sandinistas have a lot of potential. The Tea Partiers that are not owned by the Koch brothers have a lot of potential. So Donald Trump has to basically pivot to the 99%, give them an election reform act, create a Trump channel that uses Bill Binney's thin thread to allow the president to hear the people, not just tweet to the people. And of course, we would kill Twitter, which, by the way, banned Roger Stone, alt-right white guy, and also banned a black woman, alt-left woman, Charlie Peach is her handle, on the same week. Okay, so an open source agency, a Trump studio, Trump channel, kicking the press out of the White House, all of that would create a new national town hall that actually works. And Bill Binney's thin thread is now fully embraced by me as the essential technical underpinning for a world brain, a global game, and a national state, local series of conversations where everybody has voice and vote on everything and everyone has access. One of the things Bill and I talked about is how Thin Thread allows us to take the process data from 1% to 100% with very little time, energy, and money required to get there. I'm hugely impressed by this. I think Thin Thread is an intellectual technical achievement on the order of what Tim Berners-Lee now calls his failed internet experiment. And I think that Bill Binney's mind combined with my mind will create a world brain in which Kalia Young's mind will assure anonymity, identity, privacy, and security for every single individual. Every single individual will own their own data. They can leave Facebook and put their data wherever they want it. No more walled gardens.
Well, I think the Thin Thread program, what's so amazing is it is the data to clean up our country. If they use it that way, we can have, now it can also be a technocracy nightmare the way they're using it now.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And one of the things that has to happen here, the reason I subtitled the Open Source Everything Manifesto, the subtitle was Transparency, Truth, and Trust. At the end of the day, America's solutions are human solutions, not technical solutions. And human solutions boil down to human intelligence and human integrity. So you actually have to create a culture of integrity, which we don't have now. There's an excellent book, which I've reviewed, called The Culture of Cheating, or The Cheating Culture. America today is dysfunctional at all possible levels. It is a cheating culture. We are not accessing the information. We're not using information to make informed decisions. It's basically a banker's playpen. We're all pigs, and we're knee-deep in shit. And it doesn't have to be that way. There is more than enough wealth on this planet to give everybody on the planet a two-story cinder block house with free electricity and unlimited running water and a little aquaponics farm attached to their thing, and compost sewage. I actually figured out how to give 1 million Somalis Western happiness for $500 each paid once.
Yeah, there's an amazing what we can do. Let me ask you, the tide is turning. There's a lot more good information out there. People are waking up and understanding things. Now, if Trump, what is your thoughts on this? If Trump's, you know, this whole swell towards information coming out, we all have seen censorship, right? We've all been experiencing it. You have been affected. I have been affected. Now, if Trump doesn't defeat the deep state, are we going to see a clean, hardcore censorship get enacted upon on YouTube and everything else?
Or... The short answer is no. The deep state is betting on Mike Pence. And I totally agree with Julian Assange, who has said in writing that Mike Pence is a traitor and is stabbing Donald Trump in the back every single day. I also believe that Mike Pence is indictable for financial fraud, having a private email server exactly the same as Hillary Clinton's, and possibly, at a minimum, covering up pedophilia in his state and perhaps being complicit in murderous pedophilia networks. I don't know, but I think there's enough evidence piling up, and I'm getting an email every 2 weeks that basically points back to Mike Pence. I think the president needs to really get a grip on who he has around him in the White House, starting with eliminating the National Security Council. The National Security Council is how the deep state controls the White House. Eliminating the National Security Council, nationalizing the Federal Reserve, and unleashing the honest part of the FBI by using the NSA data to basically neutralize and expel from government all the dual nationals from Israel, all of the people who are taking money from Saudi Arabia, all of the people who are taking orders from the Pope through the Knights of Malta and Opus Dei, all of the Freemasons that are going outside the chain of command down to Freemasons at lower levels to get things done in the FBI, the CIA, defense, and so forth. All of that needs to be cleaned up. And all of that can be cleaned up within 90 to 180 days if the president is surrounded by a group that actually knows what it's doing. And one of the problems he has is he doesn't have guys like Benny and me and Napolitano right there up close and personal. So basically everybody is lying to him and getting away with it.
Well, let's talk about something a little more kind of scary. Trump is expanding the nuclear capabilities in this country. And I have been told that tactical nuclear weapons is easy to make now, and every country has them, and that they've been used, the smaller tactical nuclear weapons have been used in the Middle East already. And that there's a lot of people in the government that have no issue with us using them. And in fact, they're promoting it. What are your thoughts on that?
Again, Donald Trump is being lied to. Okay. One of the reasons, I mean, I don't deserve the Nobel Peace Prize and I don't ever expect to get the Nobel Peace Prize. But one of the reasons I was recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize and perhaps nominated is because I'm the first guy to put together holistic analytics, true cost economics, and open source everything engineering. There isn't a single person in the US government that is doing true cost economics. The president is not being told what the true cost of any investment in nuclear anything is, including the fact that this shit will be around for thousands of years and out of control. He's not being shown the options. He's not being shown the alternative options. He's not being shown that a dollar invested in the education of women is worth $1 billion invested in a nuclear weapon. Okay, that's a little bit hyperbolic, but let me say that again. $1 invested in the education of a woman overseas and in America and the inner cities and so forth is worth $1 billion invested in a nuclear capability. It is just no comparison. So true cost needs to be done. Again, we come back to the fact, I believe, that the president is being lied to. The information that is reaching the president is not being properly staffed by Jim Kelly, because Jim Kelly has no clue what it means to do holistic analytics and true cost economics. He's just there to make the trains run on time. He doesn't know which trains are honest and which trains are not honest. He's not there as an arbiter of the integrity of information. So honestly, this is why I want Trump to have an open source agency. So he actually has public intelligence in the public interest that can be shared, that can be discussed, that can be scrutinized by others. The problem with spies is that no one can call them out as liars because everything they tell the president is secret. Okay, I guarantee you 90% of what the CIA is telling the president is absolute crap. It's a lie, by and large.
Okay, let's talk about another issue. Obama was talking about bringing over 250,000 Syrians and putting them on an Indian reservation. And that was back in 2015. And I've just gotten multiple sources, legitimate sources, telling me that there's 120,000 Syrians who have indeed been brought over to the United States. What are your thoughts on that? They're on an Indian reservation, and it's quiet. It's black. Nobody knows about it. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that your information is correct. I have no direct knowledge, but I believe it. I have heard myself about contractor airplanes flying into airports across America in the middle of the night and dumping entire loads of Syrians, undocumented Syrians, who are then bused to distribution points. And simply, it's a catch and release program. This may be, along with Uranium One, Obama's greatest crime against the American people. If Donald Trump is not tweeting about this, it's because people are lying to him and not letting him know that this is real. I think you should send this information to Hannity and to Tucker Carlson and to Brett, whatever, at Fox News. Certainly, I will send it to Judge Napolitano and Roger Stone and a few others. We will try and get this in front of the president. There are still faxes that Jim Kelly doesn't know exists. But the bottom line here is the president is not being well served by his current staff. His current staff is lying to him. The intelligence community is not providing him with the decision support that he needs to be an effective president. So he's in kind of a hit and miss mode here. He's making some very sound decisions. I mean, I credit the president with peace between North and South Korea. This is part of his gift to humanity. I credit the president with not letting Herbert McMaster and David Petraeus and John Brennan and John McCain suck him into putting U.S. troops into Syria and Lebanon. So there's a lot that the president's doing right. But he could do 100 times better if he cleaned the White House out, got rid of the press, executed hashtag Trump Triumph, and had an open source agency that could inform him properly, had a grand strategy conversation with America, and had a Trump studio and channel that could educate every American citizen about the facts, which are not to be had from the mainstream media.
Well, the mainstream media, the mainstream media is not talking about the most serious stuff going on. I mean, they're gossiping all day long with a few good things.
I have three screens on my desk, and every once in a while I'll flip through the channels. And my wife is tired of hearing this from me. But at night, when she's flipping through the channels, I say, if you judge a nation based on its television programs from 5 to 10 at night, we are the stupidest bunch of fat assholes on the planet.
I would agree with that. I mean, we look bad. The other countries, now they have censorship as well. But when they look at us and what we're being told, we are the most uneducated group of people of what's really going on in the world.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I've met South African taxi drivers that know more about the United States than college professors. This is really bad. Plato said that education is the highest responsibility of government. And one of the reasons I started the Earth Intelligence Network as a nonprofit, and one of the reasons I want to spend the next 40 years creating an open source agency and network that creates the world brain and the global game where everyone plays themselves with full access to all information and voice and vote on every issue local to global where they wish to take part, is that we need to integrate education, intelligence, and research. We have a very stupid nation. I actually wrote a book to try and get Congressman Rob Simmons reelected back in the day, and it was mostly to honor what he was trying to do with the open source agency. Called Creating the Smart Nation. Our nation is deliberately stupid. It has been dumbed down by the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. The information technology industry is guilty of not wanting to provide tools for sense making, of not wanting to create standards for data integration across multiple databases, for not wanting to heed the alarm. I wrote the first letter to the White House in 1994 about the need for cybersecurity. It was co-signed by the top NSA security engineer, Jim Anderson, by Win Schwartau, author of Information Warfare and the first books on electronic Pearl Harbor, and Bill Kiley in Australia. The fact of the matter is that I would say since 1920, the public has been under attack by the 1%, to include the Great Depression, which you interviewed the author of that wonderful book, Fruits of Graft. The Great Depression was contrived by Wall Street to destroy the rising middle class in America, to buy up America at depression-level prices, and to consolidate banking power on government. And FDR was complicit in the Great Depression. He knew it was contrived, and he did not call them out. So we're now at a point where Trump, the great disruptor, is perhaps our best chance to flip the enchilada. If Trump fails, then 2020 is going to be the next chance. And I certainly will do what I can to support an independent president. There are a couple of billionaires that are interested now in following in Trump's shoes if he fails. An independent president that creates a coalition cabinet announced in advance that challenges the two-party tyranny to coalition-level debates. So the attorneys generals, the ministers of secretaries of defense, and so forth. It would also publish a balanced budget 90 days in advance, which would show the people that the Department of Defense is 60% of our disposable budget and 50% waste, as is the rest of the federal government. If I were part of that presidential team, I would have a six-year plan for cutting the federal budget by 70%, 70% over 6 years. And, oh, by the way, all those people that are being dropped out of these toxic jobs that are not helping America, they would be given 1 year's salary plus retraining using the wonderful Defense Labor National Retraining Program that my friend Del Spurlock, who was Deputy Secretary of Labor under Ronald Reagan, designed. We can not only cut the federal budget by 70%, we can fully fund and retrain every single individual that is cut and send them out into the frontiers to do good work in infrastructure, in sustainable housing, and so forth.
Well, wouldn't you say that we're so better off with Trump than we would have been with Hillary? I mean, isn't that a no-brainer?
There's no answer. You know, people should look up the letter that I sent to James Comey before the election. I sent Comey a certified letter saying that he should immediately indict Hillary Clinton for, in this order, pedophilia, treason, charity fraud, and election fraud. I stand by that letter. Hillary Clinton is, in my view, richly indictable and convictable for pedophilia, treason, charity fraud, and election fraud. And it's not just Hillary Clinton. It's every governor across America. It's most mayors across America. It's most CEOs. One of the things I find interesting is 120 CEOs have resigned. And in Congress, we've had over 50 Republicans and over 20 Democrats resign or state that they're not coming back. All of these top people are start realizing that the rule of law may be coming back to town. And for that alone, God bless Donald Trump and God bless Jeff Sessions.
Okay, well, if the rule of law comes back into town, that would be a great thing. But now with 50 Republicans dropping out, does that say, and only 20 Democrats, does that say anything about the Republican Party?
I have been trying to tell Donald Trump since July of 2015 that he is going to be impeached and cast out of office because the Democrats are going to take back the House and the Senate. This is a certainty unless he introduces the Election Reform Act, barnstorms the country, and promises America that we can get a whole new Congress that destroys the parties. People, not parties, is the term that Cynthia McKinney and I have agreed needs to be used. People, not parties. We need a Congress that makes evidence-based decisions and that does not caucus as a party. A Congress in which the members of Congress represent Main Street, not Wall Street.
I love the people, not parties. We have to get past the party BS. Go ahead.
Let me give you some detail. I ran for president under the Reform Party. I was one of three nominees, and I'm still friends with Andre Barnett, who deservedly won the nomination. He worked much harder than I did. There are three major things wrong with parties. The first is that the parties insist that you have a one-party ticket and a one-party cabinet. This is insane. Second, the parties insist that you adopt the party platform. This is also insane because all parties have really stupid criminal crap in their platform. The third thing that the parties insist on is that you blindly suck up to and honor the promises made to their patrons. In the case of the Libertarian Party, which I am a member of, and for which I might one day run for president, but I'd rather support Trump into not just two, but three terms. It's time we got rid of term limits in some ways. I'd rather support Trump. But if I were to run for president as a Libertarian Party member, I would announce in advance that I was going to have a Green Party vice president and I was going to have a coalition cabinet that was two-thirds independents and other parties. And the Republicans, Democrats would only be eligible if there were Sandinistas or Tea Partiers. Okay, it's time we change the game here. And we have the power to change the game. God bless Donald Trump, because Donald Trump opened the door for whatever comes after Donald Trump. Now, again, because he's our legitimately elected president, I would much rather work for him, help him clean house, and help him win a second term if he wants a second term. If I were Donald Trump, I would not want a second term, but I would want to leave a legacy.
Well, and he seems like he's doing a pretty good job, but we got to get those people around him that are lying out of there. Nobody can do a good job surrounded by that.
It's true.
So where can people get a hold of your work? Where can they donate to your work? Where can...
thank you for asking. I mean, I have three websites. RobertDavidSteele.com is my personal website with all of my ideas for saving humanity, starting with the inner cities, the black inner cities, and the white dust bowls in Texas and elsewhere. So RobertDavidSteele.com. PhiBetaIota.net is the free blog with no ads. And Unrigged.net is the game plan for election reform, which I frankly designed for Donald Trump to lead. Our campaign has been destroyed by a Zionist attack that's taken six separate forms in 90 days. That story is told at tinyurl.com/Google Gestapo. But the bottom line here is hashtag unrig only works if the president chooses to lead America toward integrity in Congress. And I hope he does. As for donations, I would love to have donations. We're running out of money and I'm starting to get invitations. For example, I've just been invited to Tokyo to meet Benjamin Fulford, which is a high for me. I love Benjamin Fulford. And people don't understand. He's had some real medical issues, some of which have been imposed on him. So when Benjamin gets a little batty, please give him a break. I think he's 80% gold and 20% fluff. And you have to understand that this great man has been attacked without mercy by electromagnetic and other means. And people have literally tried to kill him multiple times over. I think he's one of the greatest sources that we can attend to. And we should respect that. So for me, going to Tokyo and having the money to go to Tokyo, to go to Iran, to go to Moscow, to go back to South America, to Ecuador, this would be helpful. Because right now I'm starting to turn into Johnny Appleseed for Intelligence with Integrity.
Well, let me ask you a quick question, because a lot of people do say that Benjamin Fulford is a disinfo agent. And because of your background in the CIA, they accuse you of that as well. But what I've seen from you is your incredible compassion working for the poorest people and the people who have no power in this world. That's what I've seen from you, and people don't see that. They see you as a talking head, but I've seen you work really hard on that, which to
bless
me
you,
gives me.
Bless you, Sarah. Let me give you three quick tidbits here. Number one, Benjamin Fulford went to Asia like 30 or 40, 50 years ago, I think for the Wall Street Journal or Forbes. And he rapidly became the one guy that was trusted by everybody, including the Yakuza and the White Dragon Society and all of the people with the Chinese and Japanese gold stashes and the whole nine yards. Benjamin Fulford is probably the only guy from the United States of America who has ever achieved that level of confidence across all of Asia. Now, he's suffered some in recent times, but he is no less valuable. In fact, he's more valuable for having this institutional memory that I think would be very valuable to President Donald Trump. And one of my reasons for wanting to go to Tokyo is I want to understand what Benjamin knows that I can then feed to Donald Trump through Roger Stone or Judge Napolitano or whatever. Number two, I've noticed that people who think I'm a disinformation agent or I'm a talking head. They don't have a brain. They don't read. I mean, anybody with a brain who went to robertdavidsteele.com and saw that I'm the top Amazon reviewer for nonfiction, although I've removed all my reviews from Amazon. Amazon has lost its integrity. It's promoting verified purchases with one-line idiot reviews. So all my reviews now are only available through my websites. I'm the top nonfiction reviewer on the planet in the English language. I've written 12 books. I have served with distinction in a number of different ways. I've been recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize. These people don't see that because they don't read, okay? They also don't evaluate substance. If you look at my 8 books, the first 2 of which had forewords by senators who were past chairman of the Senate Select Committee for Intelligence, you'll see that all 8 of my books say, CIA, get your head out of your ass. I mean, but you have to read in order to know that I've said that.
Well, and I don't think they realize how much energy you spend trying to help the poorest and the least powerful in the world. And not me, like Clinton is doing it. You're not stealing from people.
No, I'm not. And let me say something, although I've been accused of stealing and I've got a federal lawsuit against those people. And I expect that the jury and the judge will find in our favor as we do discovery. And I mean, you know, there's 10 videos up there as evidence that show defamation and accusing me of fraud and so forth. So I'm not going to talk about that. I believe in the court system and I'm using the court system the way it's supposed to be used. But let me say something that puts my attempts to help the poor in perspective. It's pure selfishness. Because the poor, the 5 billion poor at the bottom of the pyramid, a great book by C.K. Prahalad, The Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid, the 5 billion poor are the human brain power, the ingenuity, the innovation, the energy that is going to save this planet with a post-Western economy and a post-Western information thing. I'm really loving what I'm seeing about mesh networks. I think the 5 billion poor are going to figure out the post-Google internet before Tim Berners-Lee and I do. And so my bottom line on the poor is I'm looking at this as a very cold, clear calculation. The future of Earth depends on giving a fair shake to every single person on the planet, starting with the 5 billion poor.
And I think we should leave it with that, because that is exactly, that's exactly right.
God bless you all. Please donate. I don't take a salary, but I would really, really like to have some spending money.
Thank you so much, Robert.
Oh, Sarah, Professor Sarah, it's an honor to be on your show.